In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. My amazing child is about to enter high school. They are going to turn 15 this November, and so we decided this summer that we better do something special to mark the occasion. So perhaps it's a little unconventional, but we decided to go to a metal smelter, a forge, and make knives out of iron railroad ties, like you do on your way to high school. It was an education for me, not just on the intricacy of what it takes to make something out of iron, but in the intentionality, the extreme heat, and the artistry that goes in to iron working and smelting. What you do is you go in, and the moment you walk into this particular place, you can feel the heat just meet you right in your face. The forge itself is close to 3,000 degrees. It's hot. It's very hot. It's a consuming fire. Not unlike the way the writer of Hebrews describes God today. And in that fire, when you place the metal into it, you have to watch it, and it grows very, very hot. You take it out with special tongs, and you actually help to form it by removing the impurities. Each time you hit it, some of the impurities come off of the metal, and it's shaped more and more to something beautiful, useful, and unique. The education continued when I learned more about how metal smelting is used in the Bible later on when I read more about it, because in the Bible, God is not just the consuming fire. One of the chief ways God is described in the Bible is as the metal worker themselves. And the way it's described, they often use silver or gold, these precious metals. The smelter is described as spending hours at this fire with this metal, pouring it out, molding it just so, and burning off every impurity until the metal worker's face itself can be seen in the metal. What a beautiful image for God, sitting there, working on the precious metal of our heart until God's very face is reflected back in it. Isn't that amazing? It's beautiful. So when we hear all the fire and brimstone that we hear from Hebrews today, when we hear of God as a consuming fire, we should think of this fire as helping to remove all those things in our hearts that stand in the way from reflecting back the very face of God. In the biblical tradition, we have all these stories of spiritual healing, especially in the Gospels, where we see Jesus walking around proclaiming the kingdom of God by doing it chiefly with exorcisms and spiritual healing. Exorcism is not something we normally talk about these days, except if you were here yesterday when we spent a couple hours talking about it in our forum yesterday afternoon. In the Bible, exorcism is the number one thing Jesus walks around doing. We don't often think about that, but the stories of him proclaiming the kingdom of God, the stories of him doing so with healing are plentiful, much like the story we have today of this woman who hasn't been able to stand up straight for 18 long years. Not to be missed in this story is how Jesus says that Satan has bound her for these 18 years, and this has been part of her affliction. But it doesn't say that she was bound because she's impure, does it? In fact, when Jesus gives spiritual healing and brings exorcism to somebody who needs it, it's never because they are an accursed sinner who must be kept away from the rest of the world. Quite the opposite. Jesus often heals those who are both possessed and oppressed. And this woman is no exception. She's oppressed because she has been kept away from her beloved community. She's been kept away from her house of prayer. She's been kept away because she's been deemed spiritually impure because of this ailment. And before we judge the religious leaders of Jesus' day too harshly, we also have to remember that we tend to do the same thing historically in our religious communities. We tend to deem somebody impure and keep them on the outside. We might even do that with ourselves. We might look at our own selves and say, I can't possibly be beloved of God. I can't possibly approach God because there's something about me that should keep me away from God. But what Jesus teaches us with these spiritual healings is that nothing should keep us from God. Nothing. Not even our religious institutions, not even those things we think should keep us from God. Because our hearts are so precious to the divine metal smelter that God wants to spend time removing those things which we think divide ourselves from God and one another, letting them burn out, be consumed. It's not the true self that God wants to burn away in that consuming fire. It's the hell that we condemn ourselves to that God wants to burn away so that we can be seen by God and ourselves, so God's very face can be reflected back in the middle of our heart. So we are asked a question with this gospel today. When was the last time you were able to stand straight before God, metaphorically speaking, in your heart? Where was the last time that you were able to feel that exaltation of healing, of the things being removed that we thought divided ourselves from God and one another? But in fact, if we position our hearts in that consuming fire, we might see all those things burn away. So I think the writer of Hebrews is correct. Indeed, our God is a consuming fire. And thanks be to God for that. Let us this day and every day place that precious heart in the fire of that consuming God so that God may work with it. God may spend time with it. God may be so close to it that God's very face is reflected back in it. And that we might bring that very healing to the world that so desperately needs it. Indeed, our God is a consuming fire. And thanks be to God for that. Amen.